Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show, lots of good people involved, and the host and founder of the program is Carol Marks. Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she's a champion in the battle against ageism. Let's jump right into the program now as Carol interviews Dr. John Eleftheriadis. He's one of the best heart surgeons in the country. He was voted Best Heart Doctor in Men's Health magazine. And he's going to talk to Carol now about his new book titled Extraordinary Hearts, A Journey of Cardiac Medicine and the Human Spirit, published by Berkeley.
Now, you said that one of your heart patients was one of the world's greatest contemporary authors, writer Robert Ludlum. What was he like when you first met him, and how did he encourage you to write fiction? And is that what inspired you to write your first book, which did very well, The Transplant?
Yes, that's exactly the case. I can tell you that it's intimidating to stand outside the room and see the name Robert Ludlum on the door and know that you've been called to operate on his heart. I had read all his books during my youth and my training, and whenever I flew anywhere, I had one of his books in hand. And he was intimidating and very much had the persona of an intense spy, which is what he was. He told me that he wrote spy novels because that was his background. The real background is quite mysterious and was never elucidated. But he did encourage me, Carol. What he said was, John, you may not be a professional writer, but you have one big advantage, and that is you know the subject matter perfectly. You're a heart surgeon. You're writing about heart surgery. He said, remember, if you were a professional author going out to write a medical ethics book, you'd have to have somebody teach you all the medicine. So, yes, Carol, that was the encouragement that led me to write my first fiction, which is called Transplant.
And you did another high-risk heart procedure on him in 2000, and then he died in 2001, which they said was natural causes. And you just alluded to the fact that his death has now become a subject of conjecture because his nephew wrote a book about it and said it wasn't natural. And I thought some of the fascinating facts that you brought up are going to make me want to read that book. So what did he have to say? Because he was a spy, I guess.
That's exactly the case, that there's a lot of controversy about the mode and the mechanism of his death. He had so many chronic issues with smoking and drinking. I never thought twice about it. Fortunately, he'd gotten through everything that we had done for him. And then I learned about his death when I was on a lecture trip in Europe. I saw it on TV. But come to find out from his nephew, there is a concern that his second wife may have been a gold digger and may have participated actively in his death, which was really due to fire. He died after injuries in a fire in their home. Now, this is not coming from me, but it's coming from a nephew who knows the story very, very well. And I tell it in a brief version in the book Extraordinary Hearts.
And it was very, very interesting. Now, another extraordinary heart in your book was David Brubeck, the dominant force in progressive jazz, becoming popular in this country. And you operated on him using the procedure coronary artery bypass graft. And after his surgery, you asked him how he felt, and he said he had a chicken wire day. So what the heck did he mean by that?
Carol, I thought maybe he was confused. I thought maybe something was going on with his brain. And I said very respectfully, Mr. Brubeck, I don't know what that means. And he said, well, John, I guess you don't know much about music. But he said, when my band was starting up, we played some venues that were not that not that nice. And he said, my band and other bands, if we were looking at an audience that we thought might be unruly, would put chicken wire around the bandstand to avoid being hit by thrown beer bottles and thrown pieces of food and so on. So he was telling me this musician's expression that it was a chicken wire day. In other words, it was not the best day that he had, that he had some discomfort and made trips to the x-ray department. And that's what he was telling me. with that pithy expression.
Now, one of the things I really liked about your book is you give a lot of helpful information in your chapter, and when it came to talking about David Brubeck, you mentioned, you know, the two main procedures that are used to correct blockage of the arteries that feed blood to the heart, and one's angioplasty, and then the other one is the coronary bypass procedure. And, you know, do we now have evidence about which procedure is better and lasts longer? Because I really hadn't read it being spelled out like that for me. And it certainly should let people that are considering or need something like that learn to ask their doctors the right questions about the procedures.
You've really read the book very carefully. I'm amazed. And I try to teach a little bit of medicine in each chapter so that by the end of the book, the reader comes to understand that he's learned an awful lot about the heart, but I always hope it's like putting a pill in the child's applesauce. That is, the pill goes down and it does its effect. The knowledge is gained from reading this book, but without any of the drudgery of feeling like you're reading a medical textbook. But I think that Mr. Brubeck is a vivid demonstration of the benefits and liabilities of those two procedures, angioplasty, which is done with a catheter, doesn't require a long hospital stay, versus coronary bypass. Mr. Brubeck walked into my office. He had one coronary bypass operation. He was in the hospital for 5 days. When it took care of him for the remaining 26 years of his natural life with no invasive procedures, no catheterization, nothing. And that's what the science shows, Carol. It shows that coronary bypass is a very durable procedure. Angioplasty is effective, but not as durable as coronary bypass.
And you also comment at the end of each story about how your encounter with each of the patients in your book changed your life. So how did taking care, for example, of Mr. Brubeck enhance your life?
Yes. An early version of the book went to an editor who said, John, I love your stories, but the reader would really like to know, how did this change you? How did it make you grow as a person? So at the end of every chapter, in italics, I try to explain how every case was so special for me by making me grow and making me see the strength and courage of mankind. Now, for Mr. Brubeck, what it taught me, well, first of all, it gave me the opportunity to stand next to greatness. Mr. Brubeck had a tremendous gift, a God-given gift. He could develop new rhythms that nobody else had found new measures of music, and these haunting songs. Take Five, anybody in the U.S. just has to hear the first three notes of Take Five, and they know immediately what it is. So I was standing next to greatness. But the other thing that it taught me is that greatness and humility can go hand in hand, because Mr. Brubeck, although he loved the gift that he had been given and he loved to entertain, he was as down to earth as any human being I've ever met and the most modest and least assuming individual you can imagine. And that was wonderful to see.
Yeah, what great qualities. And for me, the most moving chapter in your book was the one in which you talk about a miracle that happened with a patient's Emmy Solomon, who she went in for a minor procedure, a biopsy of a node in her lung, and then something went horribly wrong. So what happened?
I started with that chapter. I start the book with that chapter. And I had just done a big operation. I was having a yogurt at my desk, and my secretary called in and said, John, they need you immediately in room 14. And I said, well, I don't have an operation going on. She said, they need you. There's a hole in the heart. And the patient is dying. So I ran over. It's about 4 football fields away. It's all within one series of connected buildings, and walked into the room. And it was like a scene out of MASH, if you remember the TV show about battlefield surgical care. There was blood everywhere on the walls, on the floor. The anesthesiologist was shouting that we're losing her. She's bleeding out faster than I can give the blood in. The drapes were all asunder, and it was obvious that something terrible had happened. And I walked up to the table. My colleague, a very fine surgeon to whom this tragic event had occurred, and I could see comfort in his eyes just by having a colleague across the table. And we went ahead and we repaired that big hole in the heart. It was like a gunshot wound equivalent, never expecting the heart to hold together or the heart to start beating. But lo and behold, the stitches held. There was initially a tentative heartbeat and finally a stronger, more regular heartbeat. And before you knew it, she was able to sustain her circulation with her own heart. And I left the room, Carol, at that point, never expecting her to survive. Everything was done non-sterily. She had been with a very low blood pressure for a long time, and I went about my afternoon office hours. And the following morning, I walked in to make rounds on my patients, and Barbara, our nurse, grabbed me by the shirt, and she said, "Mrs. Solomon wants to talk to you." And I said, "Barbara, I don't have a patient by that name. You must be mistaken." But Barbara's never mistaken. And she said, "Come with me." And I walk in the room, Carol, and there's a woman having breakfast. And I never expected the patient on the table with that hole in the heart to survive or ever come to consciousness or ever have the breathing tube removed. Lo and behold, this is she. And she says, "I know you. I've been to your house." She says, "Hello, John." It turns out that she was my student's teacher, both my son and daughter's teacher, and revered in the school system and the town. And to me, this is a miracle. A miracle is defined as something that can't be explained by the ordinary rules of the world. And there's no way that this woman should have survived. She's still alive, even with the metastatic cancer now, and it's about 7 years later.
That's Dr. John Eleftheriadis in conversation with Carol Marks. His new book is titled Extraordinary Hearts, A Journey of Cardiac Medicine and the Human Spirit, published by Berkeley. Carol Marks returns in conversation with a man who wrote the Doctor's Diet Cookbook. That's next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
A domain name is your key to doing business around the world, right from your office, living room, or even your couch. And finding the right name is as easy as a domain name search at hostingforcheap.com. Just enter the domain you want in the search box and we'll give you the results, along with similar domains you may not have considered. Most people looking for goods or services start on the web. Unfortunately, many small businesses can't afford to pay someone else to build their website. That's where hostingforcheap.com comes in. We can show you how to create a website for yourself, because hostingforcheap.com isn't just about domain names. It's a one-stop shop for anything you need to get online, from building your own website to attracting new customers to securing their data when they make a purchase. Hostingforcheap.com has you covered from the moment you decide you want to put your business on the web. That's hostingforcheap.com. Hostingforcheap.com. Hostingforcheap.com.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. Here again is our host, Carol Marks, in conversation with Dr. Travis Stork. He's an ER physician and the lead host of the popular daytime medical talk show, The Doctors. And he's going to talk to Carol about his new book titled, The Doctor's Diet Cookbook, Tasty Meals for a Lifetime of Vibrant Health and Weight Loss, published by Bird Street Books. He'll also give tips to help fight cold and flu symptoms before they start.
What was your major in college, and why did you decide to change? And wasn't it difficult to go back to school and take those required courses that you hadn't taken because you wanted to go to medical school?
Well, you did your research. I was a math major in college and actually came out of college, and I was an actuary. And so it was a few years after college where I was volunteering at a medical clinic when I decided to go back to medical school. And it really was not something I had ever intended to do. And I had to go back, and I would at night go take my pre-med classes, and next thing you know, I was in med school, and here I am. So it was a non-traditional path, but it was one where I followed my passion, and I don't have any regrets.
Absolutely. Now, you're a board-certified emergency medicine physician, and how's your experience in the ER motivated you to teach people how to prevent an illness before it happens? And why is our immune system so important in staying healthy? Because we don't hear much about that.
Well, in the ER, a lot of times I say, sadly, someone comes in and it may be too late. And even if you can fix the problem, a lot of times it's just a Band-Aid fix. Because as we learn more and more about what keeps us healthy, it's really the decisions we make over our lifetime are cumulative. And so I really try to promote this idea of, look, when you're in your 20s and 30s, that's when you really want to start thinking about your health. And that doesn't mean it doesn't matter what you're doing in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, but we really do hold the keys to our own health. We are the CEO of our own health, and the healthcare system is here when things don't go quite right. But in the ER, I just heard it so many times where someone comes in and says, you know, Dr. Travis, I wish I had made a change sooner, because once you've had your first heart attack, you know, once you've developed certain chronic illnesses, it's really hard to turn back the clock. And that gets back to not just your immune system, but what's really exciting and the opportunity here, as I've learned in my career, is that the most powerful prescription we can give people out there is not always a prescription to have prescription. It's prescription for how to live and doing things every day that improve your health. And that's, if you can treat food as your medicine, eat the colors of the rainbow every day, you're not only really improving your immune system, you're going to do a great job towards keeping your waist size at a healthy size, reducing your risk for all the major killers in the country. And that's the kind of stuff I've gotten more and more passionate about as my career has progressed.
And one of the things that's important, and I don't think it's emphasized enough to most of us, and the fact that we have to stay hydrated even during the cold weather. And we just don't seem to do it.
It's so important, Carol, during that time of year, because our thirst mechanism isn't as predominant. During the cold weather months, you're not constantly going around thinking about drinking plenty of water. But staying hydrated is so important during the winter months. The air is a lot drier, as we all know. But it's not just staying hydrated internally. I'm also a big fan during the winter months of keeping your nasal passages hydrated. I've had a great partnership with Arm & Hammer Simply Saline for the last number of years because their saline nasal sprays do a great job of keeping your nasal passages hydrated and moist, avoiding all that cold, dryness that occurs in the winter. And also, if you get sick, it's important for people to realize that if you get the common cold, there, unfortunately, is not a treatment. There's nothing that I can provide you as a doctor that's going to treat your cold. And so things like saline nasal sprays, saltwater gargle rinses, staying hydrated, eating healthy food, getting plenty of rest, that's the best prescription that we can offer, because things like antibiotics, they don't help a cold at all, and they may cause harm.
And what about the difference between colds, flu, and sinus infections? Are we still somewhat confused about them?
Well, the most important thing with a cold is it typically starts up with neck up symptoms. You're going to have runny nose, congestion, sore throat, not as much in the way of systemic symptoms. The flu, and same thing with sinusitis, primarily you're going to notice a lot of sinus congestion, fullness in there, and it can be very uncomfortable and not pleasant. But with the flu, you're going to be looking at more full body symptoms, muscle aches, fever, chills, headaches, and the flu can be very dangerous, and that's why I always promote getting the flu vaccine as early as possible, because we talk about a lot of other scary viruses lately in the national conversation, and internationally we've been talking about Ebola. Earlier we were talking about the enterovirus, but the influenza virus can kill over 30,000 people a year, and so we can't forget how deadly that virus can be, particularly in susceptible populations.
What about the fact that they've just come out and said to the CDC that there is a strain of the flu virus that mutated, so the vaccine might be less effective? So I'm sure people are wondering if they should still take it.
And the answer is yes, it is less effective due to mutation. And it also, that's a teaching point to us that, you know, the bacteria and viruses that are in our environment are constantly mutating and changing. But the flu vaccine is the best bet we have, and it still can be effective. It's not perfect, and it never has been, but for anyone who's had the flu, they know how, the flu can really knock someone out, and they can not only feel miserable, but like I said, people with underlying illness, it can be really dangerous. So I don't want people to use this as an excuse not to get the flu vaccine, but acknowledge that, hey, all these other measures I've talked about, maintaining a healthy lifestyle, they can really still go a long way. If the flu vaccine isn't perfectly effective, you can take these other measures, washing your hands, being vigilant about that, that also help reduce your risk of getting it.
And as you said, your diet and your weight and having control over those things is so important to your health and not picking up illnesses. And you've written a sequel to a book you wrote that was very popular called The Doctor's Diet, and now you've written The Doctor's Diet Cookbook. And it's got a huge range of recipes and tips and easy-to-read ingredients. And one of the things that I really identify with you is that when you were growing up, you didn't like vegetables. I still don't like them. So you've got a lot of good recipes in your book that manage to combine them so that people will like them.
And that's the key. If you don't like something, you're not going to stick to it. So with The Doctor's Diet, the goal was to teach people how to lose weight in a healthy way. With The Doctor's Diet Cookbook, it really is about a lifetime of healthy eating. So if people out there don't like vegetables, don't be afraid. You just mentioned I didn't grow up liking vegetables. Usually it just means that the way they're being prepared is not enjoyable. And so what's great is in the cookbook, I really designed this cookbook for people who are used to eating hearty, tasty, wonderful foods. And so it's a matter of taking a unique approach to some of our favorites, even recipes for comfort foods like mac and cheese and nachos. There's ways to make those healthy or much healthier. And there's a way to prepare vegetables where they taste great. And you'll never enjoy vegetables as much as you thought you could until you try some of these ways to prepare them. And if I can learn to like vegetables, I know everyone else out there can as well.
And it's important. It's so healthy. And finally, do you have a quote or a motto that really sums up your approach to healthy living?
Two things. The first is let food be your medicine. And the other one is be the CEO of your own health. Nobody should care about your health more than you.
That's Dr. Travis Stork in conversation with Carol Marks with tips to help fight cold and flu symptoms before they start. If you're interested in his book, it's titled The Doctor's Diet Cookbook, Tasty Meals for a Lifetime of Vibrant Health and Weight Loss, published by Bird Street Books. Kevin Casey from Talkers Magazine joins us next when A Touch of Gray continues.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security webpages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation's struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. Joining us at this time as a regular feature on the program is Kevin Casey. He's a senior correspondent on the program, and he is also the vice president and executive editor of the trade magazine Talkers at Talkers.com. Talkers is a trade publication that serves the talk media industry, which includes talk radio, stations just like this great station you are listening to right now. And Kevin, this is the first installment of A Touch of Gray for the year 2015, but we're still in the weekend. We're still technically in the weekend. Weekend of New Year's holiday of the
it
New
still
Year's
feels like the holidays, doesn't it?
Oh, and it will for a while, for till at least June. So I'm not going to ask you the question that people are always asking, and that is, what are the big stories going to be in 2015? Because if you knew that, or I knew that, we would certainly be very popular at the racetracks.
Yeah. In a different business.
Exactly. But and it always is something that you don't expect. But one thing you can be sure of, a lot of New Year's resolutions are going to go down the drain. Do you, if I may be personal, do you make New Year's resolutions at New Year's?
Never have, probably never will.
Never have?
No.
Not even when you were a kid?
No, and not on that day. I've made resolutions to do things personally, but not on that day, no.
Because it's such a clean start.
And yeah.
Maybe because you've never been overweight.
Oh, I've been overweight.
Because that, I'll bet you 90% of New Year's resolutions have to do with weight
yeah.
or something related to health, like
yeah.
I'm going to stop smoking or I'm going to exercise more. But I have a theory. I think that that the only way to keep true to your resolution is to start it before the holidays.
Oh.
Then if you can get through Thanksgiving, if you can get through Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's, and not eat the cookies and not eat the pudding and the eggnog and the food and the stuffing and all the things that just, the gravy, all the things that are just diet killers, if you can get through that come January 3rd and 4th when the year really begins, because New Year's Day is a terrible day
sure.
to start the start a resolution because it's a holiday.
Yeah, it's a national football holiday, isn't it? There are lots of college games on.
Oh, college, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, then, if you can get through that, you can get through anything, but nobody does that. We should start a holiday the day before Thanksgiving weekend
right.
it should start, and it's called Resolution Day.
So I like it. It sounds very official already. Yeah, but if you could do that, if you could be successful getting through the time you just mentioned, being good, do you really, you wouldn't be the kind of person who needs resolutions, because that's the true test, to get through that month period being good.
Yeah. All right. Enough of that. would you pass the gravy, please?
pass that
gravy. All right. Kevin Casey joins us every week at this time. He's a senior correspondent, and he is the vice president and executive editor of the trade magazine Talkers. You want to find out what's going on behind the scenes in the talk radio business? Just check it out at talkers.com. A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best. So take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Continuing now with A Touch Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. We're joined the rest of the way by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman, starting off in conversation with Dr. Martin Finkelstein. Dr. Martin Finkelstein is a board-certified internist and geriatrician, actively practicing medicine and geriatrics for the past 35 years in New York City. He's a clinical associate professor of medicine at NYU Langone Medical Center, and he's been cited repeatedly as one of the best doctors in New York in geriatrics. He will discuss his new book titled Aging, Healthcare, and You, A Doctor's Personalized Prescription for Understanding and Improving Your Healthcare. It's published by Create Space.
Dr. Finkelstein's a board-certified internist and geriatrician, and he practices medicine in New York, also a clinical associate professor of medicine at NYU Langone Medical Center in New York. And it's nice to have a doctor on who's not a PhD who wants to be called doctor just because they went to school for a while. But Dr. Finkelstein, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You know, I very much found the book so enjoyable, but it was right from the beginning because your initial dedication, I want to read it, the book is dedicated to the memory of the best physician I ever met and the person who taught me the most of what it means to be a caring doctor and a compassionate human being, a mensch, Hyman M. Finkelstein, M.D., my father. My college roommate is now a doctor, Dr. Stephen Parnell out in L.A., and one of the things that I always saw in him was this compassionate attitude that people just felt better being in his presence, and I'm sure your dad and you have that. How important is that quality to be a mensch for a doctor?
Patients are, particularly older people, are generally frightened. When they're in medical presence, when they're in the hospital, when they're ill, there's a lot that they worry about. And having somebody that they know, that they feel comfortable with, that's reassuring, holding their hand or just sitting there and talking with them, gives a personal feeling that I'm with you. And I think that's very helpful for many people.
I absolutely agree. You know, today our meetings with the doctors are often quick. And with so little time to meet with the doctor, what's the best way for us as the patients to prepare for a doctor's visit?
What it is, of course, now we're dealing with computers a lot, which take a lot of time working there. What patients, I think, should do, and what I tell my patients to do, is as you get older, recognize that every part of our body, every organ, is getting older. But that doesn't mean you have to treat everything. What you have to do is focus. You can't focus on all the problems at once. There's too much to handle. You'd be going for too many tests, too many consultations. Because something is detected does not mean it has to be addressed. And what I tell people is focus on what affects your life and living. If something is not life-threatening or dangerous, then ask yourself, if this issue was corrected, would my life be better? If it were not, put it aside. You don't have to worry about it. Take stock in who you are and what you want, set realistic goals, and then get involved and live. Don't get discouraged. Enjoy your successes and enjoy life.
It's such great advice, and I'm very lucky to have a great primary physician like you, Dr. Harvey Letterman. And when I've gone in there and had that same advice. I had a slight ringing in my ear, and he said, "Is it bothering you?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, there could be all kinds of reasons, but, you know, it's nothing to worry about." What are the symptoms that we should really pay particular attention to as we age?
Well, obviously, if there's something that's, you know, making it difficult for you to breathe, something that's bothering you in your chest or in your abdomen, those are things which you should address with the doctor early on in the visit. If there is something that particularly is hurting you or stopping you from doing what you normally do in life and what you enjoy, that gets a priority.
Yeah.
Something else can, and then what I say to patients is, don't worry. When you take care of the priority things, smaller issues will come to the top of the list. But focus on the others because there's limited time, and you don't want to get sidetracked onto something that is not really an issue.
You know, what actually, one of the things I found interesting was in your book, I didn't know if it was myth or truth, that we actually do shrink as we get older. What causes that?
Most people think it's due to osteoporosis, but actually what it is drying of the cartilage. And the cartilage in our between our discs, the disc height shorten. We have cartilage in our hips and our knees and our ankles. And as they dry, we get shorter. And then as we get shorter and the bones don't, they sometimes can begin to slip a little bit. And if we get twisted, we have a little scoliosis, a little bending, we also lose height.
What is it that makes us age?
Biology. There are a lot of theories of aging, and everything, of course, does age. We can affect maybe the rate a little bit, but everything, all life ages.
Okay, which leads me to, and as you had in the book, I forget who you quoted. You know, everybody's against aging except for the alternative, but we all want to do it. Are there things that specifically we can do that to enhance our quality of life and perhaps slow down the effects of aging?
Yes, a lot of people they dwell on aging and they let their bodies get worse and older and stiffer. And then they complain. What people should be doing is regular exercise, activity, stretching for their mind. They should get involved. They should continue learning for as long as they can. If they can't see, there are books on tape. Music, get around, live, enjoy life, be with family, friends. We're social animals. We do better when we're with people. And laugh. Enjoy the humor that's in the world.
Yeah, it's great advice, and so often I will see these people who have just given in. I'm in decline, so I'm not going to do anything, and then they do decline. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And on the other hand, I'll see these seniors at the gym who are putting the kids to shame. And I mean, you really your limits. You find out your limits as you go, right?
That's absolutely true. But we have to, it's easy to get discouraged. And commonly as we get older, there is loneliness, there is depression. We do have problems with our balance. Our functioning is slower reaction times. It's more difficult dealing with complexity of things, and we're afraid of falling. We hear about violence in our neighbors or people getting sick, and then they worry themselves, will this happen? And that's easy to do it, and it's easy to withdraw into yourself and become more of a, ask your family and your children to take up the slack. It's really a sense of confidence that they have to really push themselves a little bit, set a realistic goal, and do things.
Interesting. Now, you know, when you start talking about cognitive decline, and I went to see the late George Carlin years ago, and he talked about getting up in the room and going to another room to get something, and by the time he got to the room, he forgot what he was going to get. The one thought in his mind, Alzheimer's, and the entire audience, it was amazing, all laughed with identification at that moment. Cognitive decline, as you said, does occur. When is it something that we should be wary of?
That's a very good question. There is such an entity as a mild cognitive impairment of aging, and we all have that. It's also called a senior moment, the Teflon syndrome. What was I coming for? Did I turn off the light? Did I lock the door? Where did I put the keys? And as soon as that happens, most people begin to panic, or their spouses or family said, oh my God, the next step is going to be incontinence and a diaper and drooling. And that's not true. It's the rare person that goes on to develop a more advanced dementia. The thing is, when we're anxious, when we're nervous, when we're under stress, once you start worrying about things, you're more likely not to perform.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned exercise, and how much exercise? I saw something in the New York Times recently knocking it down to like minutes of intense exercise, but how much exercise should we as people over 65 get?
One thing is that people should walk, and they can walk a half an hour. It's good for the bones to prevent osteoporosis or reduce osteoporosis. It's good to stretch joints because our joints will naturally contract, or the ligaments will contract and will get stiffer. So one should stretch out, and one should just at least walk or do what they can. Swim if their back is bad. But be active. Don't sit. It's It's bad for the bones, the heart, the lungs, the abdomen, you know, the intestines. It's bad for everything.
That's Dr. Martin Finkelstein in conversation with our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman. Dr. Finkelstein wrote the book Aging, Healthcare, and You, A Doctor's Personalized Prescription for Understanding and Improving Your Healthcare. It's published by CreateSpace. Steve Wiseman returns in the next segment to discuss how safe it is, or how unsafe it is, to use a debit card as a credit card. That's next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.
You're age 65, and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marx offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marx is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Whoa, a digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Glad you like it. We can finally toss out that old massive stereo.
Mom, you can't just throw out electronics. They need to be recycled or donated.
Recycled? Like aluminum cans?
Yeah. You just go to greenergadgets.org, enter your zip code, and it tells you where the nearest certified recycling center is.
I knew that.
Okay, Mom.
Recycling electronics is as easy as buying them. Log on to greenergadgets.org to find electronics recycling options near you.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, as we come to the final segment of this hour and more conversation from Steve Wiseman. Our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman, is a prolific author. He's an attorney. He's an expert on so many of the topics we discuss on this program. And he is also one of the great enemies of scammers and fraud artists in America and around the world, as a matter of fact. His website is scamicide.com. He's written the book, The Truth About Avoiding Scams, and the new book, Identity Theft Alert, both published by Prentice Hall. And he's here now to tell us, how safe is it to use a debit card as a credit card? Steve?
Thank you, Michael. You know, a lot of you are familiar with my regular refrain that you shouldn't use your debit card for anything other than an ATM card. And even then, you should really carefully examine any ATM you're considering using for evidence of tampering that can indicate whether the ATM's been tampered with and a skimmer installed on it that'll capture your account data from your card. when you shop with a credit card, whether it's online or in a brick-and-mortar store, your liability limit for fraudulent purchases is only $50, and most card issuers don't even hold you responsible for that amount of fraudulent charges. On the other hand, when you use your debit card, you're making a direct withdrawal from your bank account tied to your card. If your debit card security is breached, such as in a data breach that occurred last year at Target, Home Depot, and many others, your liability is $500 if you don't report the fraudulent use within 2 business days. But if you actually don't report it for more than 60 days after you've gotten a bank statement, and some people may not notice it, you could actually have your entire bank account emptied. So this is a real concern. But when you use that debit card, sometimes the clerk will say, do you want to use this as a credit card? And here's the thing where people think if they use their debit card as a credit card that they're going to be receiving protection. You couldn't be more wrong. A debit card is a debit card. If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a debit card. Regardless of whether your debit card transaction is processed as a debit purchase with a PIN or as a credit card transaction without a PIN, the money's still processed as a debit card, and the funds are immediately withdrawn from your bank account. Frankly, the only difference to the consumer are the fees associated with the card use. Some banks charge you a transaction fee if you use your debit card as a debit card with a PIN for purchases, but charge the retailer a fee when the card is used for a credit card purchase. So never, and I mean never, use your debit card for anything other than an ATM card. Don't use it for purchases either in a store or online. Make your purchases by credit card only, and regularly monitor your credit card account carefully for unauthorized purchases and report them immediately. So this is the key to successful shopping. Even if you use that debit card as a credit card, it's still a debit card.
Thank you, Steve Wiseman. Interesting and excellent, useful information. Visit Steve Wiseman's website, scamaside.com. Read his books, The Truth About Avoiding Scams and Identity Theft Alert, both published by Prentice Hall. Steve Wiseman is a regular feature, one of our regular senior correspondents here on A Touch of Gray. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Kevin Casey. Thank you, Beverly Santinello, on the front line, producing our program. And, of course, a big thank you to Carol Marks, the host and founder of the program and its guiding light. On behalf of the entire Touch of Gray broadcast team, I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.